we are today. We are talking about another comedic sketch show, and lo and behold, let's have it be In Living Color, a Fox sketch show that ran for 5 seasons in the 90s. So
that's right.
Here with me to discuss is Buzz Movies' Mike Colton. How are you, buddy?
Do what you gotta do. In Living Color, that was a terrible joke. I'm sorry.
Do what you gotta do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got stuck in my head.
Yep.
Yeah, so best known for being co-created and featuring Keenan Ivory Wayans, his siblings Damon, Kim, Sean, and Marlon, as well
you know
as
there's
his brother.
10 Wayans all together?
Something like that, yeah, and Dwayne was even an extra on there. It launched, again, Tommy Davidson, David Alan Greer, Takeya, Jamie Foxx, and Jim Carrey, one of the many recurring performers, and launched their careers into movies. And Rosie Perez, Carrey, and Inaba, and J-Lo were the Fly Girls.
Yes. Famous Fly Girls. Yeah, I mean,
apparently there was there was a book about the show apparently called Homie Don't Play That that actually had chronicled the history of it, and it along with other shows on Fox.
Video game too?
I wouldn't be surprised if there was a game.
Like a Homie the Clown video game or something?
That would have been amazing.
Just probably bought people with that stock all the time. But,
and they just kept, the actors would even just reference their characters every time they were on SNL or whatever. Or
like the Men at the Movies, I think, made an appearance on SNL years later.
Yeah. Oh, man. So, yeah, it was so weird how Fox was targeting a primarily Black audience years before UPN, and then they would get a bunch of other shows on there, and then they would, you know, kill them off just because there's like, oh, there's too many African-American shows. And you're like, you dicks, have someone for everyone, you know? And New York Undercover was one of those. They just abruptly canceled. And you're just like, for real? It's a Law and Order spinoff and you're not making good use of it. People love that show.
We want diverse voices, just not that diverse. Come on.
Yeah, they're not as diverse as they thought they were, but yeah. For whatever reason, they don't stream this anywhere. Like, I haven't been able to find it on Hulu or what have you. It's just like some sketches have been edited because of the music, obviously. So it is kind of like Wise Guy and certain other SNL skits. There's just no point.
Right. Yeah, I think it's still, wasn't it still in syndication on like the various FX?
I still see it on there. Perfect. And often like Married with Children, it's often at like 2 a.m. because they don't want to have to edit any sketches. And I think it would do great on VH1. But yeah, the most I see is every once in a while it's on TV1 or BET. So, okay, there's an audience and people admire it. And I, fortunately enough, would often rent some of the best of segments from Blockbuster back in the day. So all of us knew about it and saw some great sketches. And much like YouTube, almost everyone had seen some sketch, you know, shared on YouTube. And so I think much like, you know, Whose Line Is It Anyway? And Mad TV, it remained alive and well, even long after they were, you know, off the air or not being syndicated as much.
Yeah, it's just one of those things you got to find. There's a lot of 480p on YouTube if you're interested.
They do some good remasters, I'm not going to lie. And I'm sure someone can find like all the rare, raw, and, you know, unedited tapes, you know, somewhere from one of those bootleg sites.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Get an actual release, one of these tapes. But
sure. What would you say are your favorite sketch? Because Homie the Clown and Fire Marshal Bill and
my go-to is always either Men on Film, which is probably my favorite of the series, or I still say Wanda Sayings every now and again. it's like coming into a room, I was like, hey, or something like that, or some kind of wand that comes up.
Oh, yeah. Kim was great at just all those various impressions.
But Men on Film, for some reason, I always remember that, especially with, we're into Pride Month now. Like, as a young white kid in suburbia growing up, around this time, I was 8 or 9. Men on Film, they're like these, obviously, like flamboyantly gay movie review hosts that have a male perspective on film, right? They had one episode I remember distinctly. It was like Damon Wayans' character gets bopped in the head by like a light or something.
Oh, yeah.
And he turns straight for 2 episodes.
Mm-hmm.
Like a complete like a jock bro type of guy, and it really pisses off his Dave Allen Greer's character, and and then like on the second episode he gets he actually ends up, Dave Allen Greer confronts him, punches him in the face, and he turns back into his normal self.
Oh, totally.
I think that was the first time it clicked for me as a, like I said, as a straight white kid out in suburbia, like, no, that's how he was supposed to be. Like, he's not supposed to be straight, which is like, it sounds weird now saying that, but it's like, given at the time, with what was going on, it's like, it just dawned on me. It's like, no, he's not supposed to be straight. He's supposed to be that guy. And like, the audience was with him too. It's like, when he turned back to his normal self, everyone was cheering. It's like, yeah, that's right. That's who he was supposed to be. He's not supposed to be anyone else. But I thought that was interesting looking back on it. It's like, appreciating that aspect of it, even though it's easy to see that show now, and it's like, well, they're just making fun of gay people, or they're making fun of black people. It's like, no, there's actually a lot of subversive stuff like that that was going on that you could pull from it. Even at
people are going to get annoyed by comedy anyway, because again, you're making fun of everything, and it's kind of like when Community made fun of blackface. They know it's wrong, and yet they still, remove that.
Oh,
sketch.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of a lot of that same thing. Like, they're making fun of how people take advantage when they're drunk, and they still to this day are very offended by the whole Colt 45, skit. So they don't re-air that one because it's making fun of date rape, and it hits too close to home for many. So.
Yeah. It's, especially considering how volatile, when the show was on, like 1990 through 94, I mean, LA riots and things, they were still making fun of all that stuff. Rodney King.
They make fun of Rodney King. Like they make fun of public service announcements and all the various talk shows at that time, like, and game shows. And I think they're pretty much on the money. I remember when Damon would even make fun of Pee Wee's Playhouse and was like, jeez.
Yeah, I mean, nothing was off limits. That's why I think a lot of people responded to it, especially with as an alternative to Saturday Night Live, which kind of played it more corporate.
Space.
They were really lampooning everybody. And I think it was the first show that really went after, kind of urban African-American culture too, and some of those figures.
Yeah, you heard the Chris Rock segment where Sean Wayne is playing Chris Rock, and he's making fun of how people in white America can't tell him apart from Damon Wayans, right?
Yeah.
It's someone has to tap into that, because it's true. There's a lot of idiotic boomers out there who just can't tell anyone apart. And
no. Or Farrakhan in space. Or no, the Wrath of Farrakhan.
Yes. Oh, man.
Towards the Enterprise.
Yeah.
And turns the whole crew against them. Yeah.
They did another one. It's like, why does every black person have to play an alien on the show? It's like, just stuff that's uncomfortable. And I think, honestly, you wouldn't have someone like Dave Chappelle. I mean, Dave Chappelle's a whole different level on a different thing. And I'm not surprised that people are kind of disowning him, or Jon Stewart, or other people who are just going way too far in their latest stand-up. And I'm just like, whatever, it's going to happen eventually. And then just take 10 years, rethink a different comedy, and then do something different. But it is what it is. And no one's going to not stop rewatching those skits, because they are pretty dynamite hysterical. I mean, they had you had Paul Mooney and a bunch of other guys contributing some great material.
Oh,
same thing here. Is like, you're having just so many different personas, and everyone again, you know, quotes it. And obviously, you know, Jamie Foxx and Damon and Jim all made it pretty big. And so people want to go back and see their earlier material. It's the same thing as any other SNL star. People wanted to see what Eddie Murphy and Mike Myers and any other comedian on there had done previously, you know, regardless of what, you know, a, you know, group they were, if they saw it back in the day or afterwards on reruns on Comedy Central or what. But yeah.
Yeah. I think people going back now and, you know, finding that older stuff again, it's still pretty fresh and talks to a lot of the same issue we still deal with now. I mean, Jim Carrey even had like a kind of a Karen activist character that he did on there.
It's predicted all
the around, like,
technically that would make him a Kyle, but yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Anything anyone was doing, he would have a problem with it or then shout slogans at people. Really annoying.
Totally.
Yeah. So
I like how they make fun of the various talk show hosts, because it is almost kind of like what Larry Sanders was doing around that same time. You're just making fun of all the colorful stories you hear about at late night talk shows, and kind of like even almost, I think it works even almost much in the same way that many light up to something like Conan O'Brien is like he, or even Eric Andre nowadays, is like you're doing a whole Space Ghost kind of thing where it's like, you're not really a talk show, but you're making, you exist as one and you're making fun of it at the same time. You're making fun of yourself. And it's just so many just layers to it. It's like not everyone's going to get it all at once, but those who do really like it.
Yeah. Totally. Yeah. I love the Tonight Show, Jay Leno, they would do.
Oh yes. And even incorporate clips, and then Late Night with Mike Tyson.
Oh man. Was it Keenan who was doing Mike Tyson? He was also did a Love Connection.
Yeah, they were making fun of all those kind of late night shows. It's like, Jesus. Yeah, so Jim Carrey played Chuck. That's right, and Kim Coles was Robin Gibbons. Keenery was playing Mike Tyson. Oh my God.
Yeah, good stuff. The one thing I don't think they could get away with even back then, which I thought was cringe, was Handyman.
Yeah. Yep.
I don't know if that was fine. It would literally not fly.
Just like that. Just like how the 80s season of SNL is never going to be replayed because it sucks.
Oh,
he's embarrassed by it. Oh, yeah, God.
The other one that I consistently appreciated was the Anton Jackson. Was the predecessor to Tyrone Biggums that Chappelle used to do, that crackhead homeless guy.
Oh my God, yeah. And then there was
come out and stumble on.
Mm-hmm. Then there was the Men On, where Damon and Greer would play Siskel and Ebert basically. And many people would quote the whole hated it.
Hated it.
Hated it.
Yeah.
Oh man. So it's all pretty dynamite, and I think, like you say, there's just so many things for everyone, and it's just a shame that it's kind of a long lost cult show. You can, if you don't have cable, you can't really find any clips of it anymore.
But, no. Yeah, a lot of it is on YouTube now, and. I was just looking there today. The Homeboy Shopping Network is live and well on there. So
nice. I'm gonna have to just do a binge one day.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, I just love their ability to play up stereotypes and just like poke fun at like everybody. You know, they even had that one where they were. It was another like black themed show, but they were like the Smothers Brothers, but they were black guys. Did you ever see that one?
I definitely did at one point.
Like they were the whitest, you know, personalities ever, but it was like talking about black issues. It's just hilarious, you know, just.
Oh yeah. They would even do I forget what it was. It's like they did one other like video store skit. I can't see it listed on here, but I'm sure many have seen it. Where it's like you're trying to get everyone's opinion especially from a primary Black demographic on School Days by Spike Lee. And some people were like, hey, I'm a Spike fan, but I didn't get that one. I'm familiar with Malcolm X and Do the Right Thing.
He kept trying to give out copies of School Days and they would keep bringing them back. Yeah,
I was like, sorry, man, I just don't get it. And just making fun of how just certain controversial words are still going to fly over certain people's faces. They're not going to get
it. Really, Wayans must really did not like Spike Jones. I don't know. Or Spike Lee, sorry.
Spike Lee, hold up, man. Different type of...
Sorry.
Yeah. But yeah, it was like... I think it also just made sense to me why they did what they did, why they appeared in all the various movies. Like, it made sense to me that Keenery would make fun of action movies while doing action. He just knew the right people would get it. Damon did Blank Man and even references that character when he's playing himself in Last Action Hero. And obviously Jim made fun of Psychos and the Cable Guy. And Jamie kind of took a while longer there just doing bit parts in movies like Any Given Sunday. And then, you know, comes Mr. Award winner in 2004 with Ray and Collateral. And I've been disappointed with him lately, but I can't blame him for wanting to do a music game show in addition to whatever giant movie comes his way. Whatever happened to Tommy Davidson though? You know, he was just really, really witty.
I thought he went back to like Broadway or something, or
that would make sense.
I thought he was doing more stage stuff.
I guess so. Maybe he didn't want that limelight. I don't know. But I mean, he was with Jamie in Booty Call, and he was on the he was in Spike Lee's Bamboozled, and I thought it was especially funny in Strictly Business, this little scene dating comedy that was in 91.
Mm-hmm.
Then Unknown, Halle Berry. It was just a fun, witty movie, making fun of the dating comedies. But yeah, he was in CB4, and then, even did voices. I mean, for God's sakes, he was Oscar in The Proud Family, on that Disney show. But you might know him better for when he was on Black Dynamite. When he made a surprise appearance in that as Cream Corn, I was like, this dude is just so hysterical. Why doesn't he have more movies? And apparently did a book called Living in Color about 2 years ago.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah, so they're still have that legacy, I guess. But
the last stand-up I saw him do was in 09. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I kind of thought the same thing of, the successor to Living Color, Mad TV, Will Sasso.
Yeah. Kind of
a similar thing where it's like, what happened to that guy? I mean, he was the funniest thing going.
He and Rob Riggle kind of just show up every now and again, just play a dick on, like, they kind of pull a Dr. Cox and Scrubs. They just kind of just show up then and there, and, everyone remembers the guest spot, so they replay it a lot, so I guess they don't have to work as much. But, yeah. Tommy, he's just funny.
Yeah, I don't know, they just appear on podcasts every now and again, I guess.
I have noticed that. I have noticed it, and he was on Mad TV a few different times. But yeah.
Yeah.
Hopefully we keep seeing being a few bigger things. A lot of the Mad TV guys, I think, got burned out just because they either couldn't stand each other or they just found how, the producers just totally hustled them, did not pay them anywhere near their dues. So they're both thankful for the show and kind of spite the producers at the same time. I'm just glad a lot of those are available on HBO Max, because a lot of them kept getting pulled from CW Seed because no one was watching it, or music rights.
Hmm. Yeah, this seems like just Fox. Fox is like, they have people that can spot talent, but as far as like the administration or running of these shows, just every story you hear that comes out of these, it's just like, what the hell are you guys doing?
They keep asking people to resurrect their various shows, and they keep just not doing it because they're like, oh, it's too expensive. I'm like, it's the only way you're going to get ratings. People don't want to watch all these shows that are going to get canceled, by spring.
Yeah, I even heard that there was they were almost going to reboot in Living Color.
Yeah, in 2011, like, and then
2012 or something, and then like they even had like
Jay Leno was going to be like a producer, and
what
the fuck happened?
And then they just say, well, this is not going to be sustainable. What? Again, who's making the business decisions over there? I mean, I guess that tradition still exists today. That it did in the
I wonder if Disney's playing a hand in it now, because even though they said we'd leave the TV division, it's like, yeah, well, you still got to fire their TV division. And people want another kind of, you know, in the 90s, again, you know, they were doing all kinds of edgy shows like Millennium it's like comedy was always kind of their thing, and they kind of tried it again in the 2000s with Bernie Mac, but even then, you know, like, just it's just they kind of just weren't always good at advertising, and they just basically have just stayed alive just because people would watch something like Bones or Simpsons, you know, that's been on for like 30 plus years.
Yeah, right. And then you have these shows that are just zombies of their former selves. I mean,
yeah, kind of like how HBO lost the rights to Tales from the Crypt, and then everyone lost the rights to it as a whole. So you would have to buy the brand in addition to, you know, buying the rights to the thing and allowing it to be greenlit. But yeah, I mean, again, I keep going into New York Undercover, but it does have a big connection into how some of the producers were clearly very bigoted and just not very... would find a reason to kill a show if they didn't like one bit of ratings or just the content. And I just remember watching a TV One documentary back in like 2014 that talked about the true story behind New York Undercover and how, you know, again, just that show screwed itself over with, again, music rights issues and, again, just always being put in a bad time slot. And it same thing, I guess. I don't think this had issues with a time slot, but it's, after it went away and everyone's careers took off, and then, I mean, Kim Wayans especially has done a lot of drama lately, and I think they just got to where they just were like, yeah, no, we're good. You know, we're not doing the show anymore, and we see how you guys are treating all these other shows. You know?
Right, yeah. So, I mean, I think Keenan only lasted through the first, two seasons?
Yeah.
And Living Color before he got kind of fed up with it. And I think he even gave up his producer slot eventually because it was just they were being censored and, again, mishandled. It's amazing to think you have a successful show and that can be going on.
It is almost kind of like when Dave Chappelle was found out Comedy Central screwed him over. So he's left most of that last season. Yeah.
Yeah, I couldn't believe that. I mean, that was the most popular thing going. But yeah, it kind of makes sense
to me why all these comedians are just bitter nowadays. They're just like, hey, I shouldn't have to do an audition anymore. Should be able to cast me.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, they're just all cynical bastards. That's most comedians, though, isn't it? Anyway.
Yeah, I'd be very dickish to everyone and be like, dude, leave me alone and give me the laughs. That's the only thing that feeds me at the end of the day, besides money. It's the laughs. Laugh.
Right.
Oh, well, this was fun. So again, everyone just keep buying those DVDs or watching them online, just signing petitions to get it back.
Or some kind of physical release. That would be great. That'd be
Blu-ray treatment would be interesting.
Yeah, because I'm just so used to seeing the crappy 480p resolution. That'd be awesome because I never quite know how ugly Wanda's supposed to be if I can't really see Jamie Foxx's smushed up face. You know, so I think I definitely need that in 1080 at least.
1080, man. 1080. Oh, so thank you for being on here. Do you have anything you'd like to promote?
No.
This was fun.
That's not true. I'm starting to do my YouTube a little bit more. I'm under Buzz Movies there as well. I do a little synth stuff on there, and also try to review movies on there as well. So I got some on Major League 2 coming out in the next week or two, talking about that wonderful movie that was mostly filmed in central Pennsylvania, which not many movies can make that claim.
Well, interesting.
The time that central Pennsylvania doubled as a Florida spring training camp, which makes all the sense in the world. So we'll be digging into that a little bit.
But, nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Other than that, yeah, just catch me on Twitter. I'm always looking for people to talk about random genre stuff. So yeah. That's all I got.
Okay. Very cool. Very cool. Oh, you be safe out there.
Oh, yeah. We'll try. Try to stay out of the controversies, right?
Isn't everything controversial?
Seems so. I don't know.
I basically put up a canceled chart. Who's going to be a dick tomorrow morning, and who's going to have just some controversy, and who am I going to have to separate from the person versus the talent versus I just don't care. Of course, I'm not surprised they would say that.
Yeah.
We'll return after these messages.
Do you ever find yourself thinking about who would win in a fight between Goku and Superman? Hi, I'm James Gavsey, and on the Who Would Win show, me and my co-host Ray ignore anything important happening in the outside world and debate fictional battles between characters from comics, movies, and video games.
We got a new show every week, and almost always am I the winner.
Yeah, not true, Ray.
In the past, we've discussed such matches as Captain America versus Darth Vader, Solid Snake versus the Iron Giant, classic matchups like RoboCop versus Terminator, and even the Muppets versus Sesame Street.
That one was crazy. So if you're a fan of geek culture and love a spirited debate, check out the Who Would Win Show wherever you get your podcasts, or check us out at whowouldwinshow.com.
We let things pile up in the DVR. We add them to our queues. We wait for the DVDs and Blu-rays. We time shift. The Time Shifters Podcast. Sci-fi, horror, fantasy, superheroes, comedy, action, film, television, maybe some not-so-current events. Find us on iTunes or at timeshifterspodcast.com.
Cool thing about Blind Knowledge is we are in multiple countries. We are worldwide all across the globe. We are in the US, we are in the UK, we are in Canada, Germany, India, Japan. We're in Australia, y'all. BlindKnowledge.com. Now back to the feature presentation.
Dragon Ball Z, One Piece, Naruto, all things that we love, all manga that were originally published in the legendary magazine Weekly Shonen Jump.
But not every series can run for 300 chapters and have a hit anime. This is David.
This is Jordan.
We're the hosts of Shonen Flop. Each episode we look at manga that ran in Jump that didn't quite make it.
We discuss what it did wrong, what it did right, how the series could have turned itself around, and ultimately, was it a flop or not?
Run all your favorite podcast apps, and you can find us at shonenflop.com.
Keep on flopping, floppers.
Follow us on the web on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The podcast is available on Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Anchor, Apple, and anywhere else podcasts are available. Feel free to review our show and leave comments on any of those sites. Thanks a million for listening. It's a jacked up.